भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये। नष्ट So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, text numbers 5 and also 6, because there is no purport for verse number 5. Vishvodbhavasthana nirodha karmate. Oh, I think I should read first one. विश्वोद्भवस्थान निरोध कर्मते ह्यकर्तुर अंगीकृतम अप्य अपावृत युक्तम न चित्रम त्वयि कार्य कारणे सर्वात्मनि व्यतिरिक्ते च वस्तुतः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट इज नॉट हियर एनीवे बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। O Lord, although you are completely detached from the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world and are not directly affected by these activities, they are all attributed to you. We do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. You are the active principle in everything, although you are separate from everything. Thus, we can realize that everything is happening because of your inconceivable energy. Since there is no purport here, we'll go to the verse number 6.
Vedan yugante tamasa tiraskrutan rasataladyo nuntu ranga vigraha pratyada devai kavaye biyachate tasmai namaste vitate hitayiti.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. At the end of the millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas and took them down to the planet of Rasatala. The Supreme Lord, however, in his form of Hayagriva, retrieved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma when he begged for them. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. Purport. Although Vedic knowledge is imperishable within this material world, it is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. When the people of this material world become too absorbed in ignorance, the Vedic knowledge disappears. Lord Hayagriva or Lord Matsya, however, always protects the Vedic knowledge, and in due course of time, it is again distributed through the medium of Lord Brahma. Brahma is the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when he again asked for the treasure of Vedic knowledge, the Lord fulfilled his desire. Om Hare Krishna. First, let me beg for the permission of all those Vaishnavas, senior and spiritual teacher, and with your kind blessings, I'll try to render this humble service of trying to speak a few words in glorification of the Lord, as is given in this particular verse. The these two verses of this Bhagavatam are actually spoken by King Bhadrashrava in glorification of Lord Hayagriva. King Bhadrashrava is living in the Bhadrashrava Varsha, one of the nine Varshas of the Jambudvip, whose descriptions we are now reading, and the prayers offered by the residents of Jambudvip. So here are the prayers of King Bhadrashrava, who is a very elevated devotee of the Lord. He is worshipping Lord Hayagriva. In each of these nine Varshas, there are different predominating deities of the Lord, different predominating incarnations of the Lord, and the devotees are worshipping the respective incarnations. So in this Bhadrashrava Varsha, Lord Hayagriva is worshipped by King Bhadrashrava along with his intimate associates. So here he is offering these wonderful prayers, and these two verses are part of those wonderful prayers. These prayers are very glorious. So let us try to understand what exactly is conveyed through these two verses. For convenience, we will try to break them up so that we can try to understand them more clearly. In the first place, the Lord, the King, is glorifying the Lord that you are the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation of this material world. But yet, he says, my Lord, you are completely detached. That is one of the special qualities of the Lord. In this world, when somebody does something, he takes so much credit and he becomes so attached. But this is the special quality of the Lord that he is bringing out, that you are completely detached. And then, though it's not specifically mentioned, reading between the lines, we understand that people don't see the connection between the Lord and His creation. That is why He's mentioning this aspect. They somehow consider the Lord to be separate from His creation, and that is why there is so much of confusion. So He says the people don't see this connection between the Lord and His creation, how the Lord is maintaining His creation, and how He is annihilating this creation. And then He goes on to the third point. He says, we do not wander, because he is a devotee. So devotee can see this connection, and therefore the devotee is not surprised that how the Lord is directly participating and involved in all these activities. And then we have this wonderful word in the translation which Prabhupada is introducing. He says, inconceivable potency. This is a masterstroke. This particular word is a genius of Prabhupada. We will discuss more about this. And then we see that in the beginning of the sixth verse, people are steeped in ignorance. Why is it so? Because of their rebellious nature. The rebellious souls have misused their minute independence, and therefore they have forsaken the Vedas. The Vedas, which is non-different from the Lord Himself, which is the direct message of the Lord. And then it is explained in the last line that the determination of the Lord never fails. Whose determination never fails? So what is that determination that Bhadrashrava is talking about? It is the determination to retrieve the fallen souls. Sometimes when we go out and we try to preach the message of Krishna consciousness, because we receive it over here and we understand it is so wonderful, we are only fortunate for that matter. But when we try to communicate this to somebody else and people don't accept it, then we become frustrated. And we start thinking, let it be, let us leave it. He is not accepting it, what can I do? We just get frustrated like this. But the Lord is not frustrated, He is determined. That's why he's explaining that no matter how much the people try to go away from the Lord, but the Lord is always exerting himself and extending himself to bring them back to himself. That is the point that has been conveyed here. And of course, in the final conclusion, that we will conclude and we finish our discussion. So, taking the first point first, there is another beautiful aspect about Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. There is a wonderful connection between the two. The connection is, Bhagavad Gita, it is explained, is the law book. It lays out all the principles as enunciated by the Lord personally. The Lord Himself speaks the Bhagavad Gita. That is why, of all the Vedic literatures, of all the scriptures available all over the world, the Bhagavad Gita is the most prominent and the most important, because it is coming straight from the horse's mouth, so to say. The Lord is personally speaking. It is not that, come to the kingdom of my God. No. Come to the kingdom of my Father. That's how Jesus Christ is explaining. But here it is direct. The Lord Himself is speaking about Himself. So there is no mincing words about it. And the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is actually glorification of the Supreme Lord, glorification of the process of devotion, and application of the principles of Bhagavad Gita in the lives of the devotees, and how the devotees, out of their realization, are coming forward and glorifying the Lord. So one is the law book, others are the law journals, which cite the cases of how the law is applied. So just taking the first point here, here is explained that King Bhadrashrava is explaining that you are the maintainer, annihilator, and the creator of this universe. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, verse number 32, the Lord personally is talking to Arjun and he says, Sarganam adirantascha madhyamam chaivaham arjunam adhyatma vidya vidyanam vadaha pravadatamaham. He says, factually, I am the beginning, middle, and the end of this entire creation. So here is the Lord personally stating the fact, and here is the devotee glorifying this aspect of the Lord. Again he says, you are completely detached. Though you are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator, you are completely detached. Here again, Lord Krishna, in the 4th chapter, 14th verse, explains, Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha iti mam yobi janati karma bir nasabadhyati. He says, there is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. When we take up some activity, the tendency is to become attached to that particular activity. In fact, when people ask somebody, who are you? They identify themselves by what they are doing. I am a professor, I am a lawyer, I am a doctor. It is so much of attachment to the work that they do, that they identify themselves by the very work that they do. Without that, they have no identity. But the Lord, He is completely detached from whatever He is doing. That is His special quality, superfine quality. Though He does it, but He doesn't take it upon Himself. He is just discharging His duty. He is just doing something that is for the benefit of others, or whatever it may be. But He is not getting personally involved in it. And then, this aspect we have to understand, because of His detachment, people are not able to see the connection between the Lord and His activities. And His primary activity is creating, maintaining, and destroying. And the others are subsidiary and subsequent activities, which is supplementing those same activities. So people don't see this connection between the Lord and His creation. They are therefore befooled. The scientists talk of the Big Bang, and they say the Big Bang is the cause of creation. They never think Krishna is the cause of creation. Though Krishna is personally giving this statement in the Bhagavad Gita, He is giving this statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Again and again He is repeating these statements. But because of their limited intelligence, because of their bigotry mentality, they are not able to see this aspect. They are not able to see Krishna as the cause of the universe, and they can't answer what caused the bang and from where did the matter that exploded came before the bang. Before the bang sets off, something is there, So that gets exploded and that spreads out. And then the universe is created, they say. But from where did that matter come? And what triggered that bang? They have no answer to these questions. But still, they will propound their theories. And they will say, oh yes, we know, we know. This is typically the example of an arrogant fool who does not know but claims to know. So in this regard, there was a nice humorous incident humorous example that was quoted by His Grace Gaurang Prabhu in one of his lectures. He said, of course it is just a supposition, it's not factual. He said, while going from Bombay to Pune, on the way, you find a board, small bank construction company. And somebody is sitting over there in the office, so you just go and inquire with him, sir, what is this board you have mentioned here, this small bank construction company? So he says, no, actually we are going to construct a very huge colony and flats are available for sale. So would you like to book one? As soon as the booking is done, we are going to complete and hand over delivery of the flats. He says, okay, so where is the site and what is the project like? He says, see, can you see that hill over there? He says, yes. So we have packed it with dynamites. And here is the fuse that we are going to lift. And when we lift this fuse, this whole hill is going to be exploded. All the rocks are going to get scattered and shattered. And behold, in front of you, a beautiful colony will come out of it. How many will go and put their money in such a project? How many will accept it? That yes. And so he says, but they say, are you gone crazy? Has such a thing ever happened? So immediately he cites the example of the scientists. He says, my dear sirs, have you not read about the Big Bang theory? What do they say? That primary matter was there. There was a Big Bang and that exploded and this whole universe came into being. This wonderful sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the planets, going in perfect synchronization. You can predict, you can calculate, you can predict the eclipse, you can say what the path of the sun is going to be, you can say when this particular event is going to take place, when the constellations are going to change. Everything is so synchronously perfect. All this came out of the Big Bang. If out of a Big Bang this much can come, then out of a small bang, why can a colony not come? This was his question. But it is absurd. We know it doesn't work. But still, the scientists, they cling to this theory. Why do they cling to this theory? Because if they don't, they are out of job. They have no livelihood. That's the simple point. In short, they are cheating. And there are those who want to be cheated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said, this is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. So we have the famous story of the circus, which all of us know. We need not repeat that. So how this world is actually driven by this cheating mentality, and how people are befooled, not able to see the connection between the Lord and His creation. If you see that, everything becomes very simple. Then Prabhupada often quotes this story of sadhus. In India, people respect sadhus. But there are some who have got a perverted mentality. So in some cases, in some villages, if a couple does not have a child, or they feel that a sadhu is a very elevated person, so if the woman is impregnated by a sadhu, the progeny will be very wonderful, very highly qualified. So they clandestinely approach sadhus and they request them to impregnate the woman. So this kind of perverted mentality prevails among the people in some parts. So what happens? Those sadhus or so-called sadhus who know of this particular activity going on, just in order to take advantage of the situation, they pose themselves as sadhus. So this example is given by Prabhupada as how this theory of the cheaters and the cheated is going on. Because people want to be cheated, cheaters are born. They take the advantage. They say, okay, if you want to get cheated, well, I am here to cheat you. So this is how this whole creation is going on. This whole we would say people getting befooled by this illusion. This is in ignorance. People by ignorance are engaging in these kind of activities. But then what is the situation of the devotees? The devotees, on the other hand, they take to the study of the Vedic scriptures. They take to the guidance of Shastras and they take to the guidance of shelter of a guru. Because of this, they are well situated. They are out of this ignorance. They see with Jnana Chakshu. Jnana Chakshu means with the eyes of knowledge, with the knowledge that is given by the Vedic literature. And therefore, Bhadrashrava here says, we do not wonder. The statement is, we do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. Whereas the scientists are struggling to find out the origin of the universe, the devotee simply is glorifying the Lord as the originator of the universe. He has no doubt whatsoever. And in glorifying the Lord, he is actually getting pleasure because of that realization that is coming from deep within his heart, coming out of complete conviction, out of complete faith. He is actually gaining pleasure and he says, how wonderful is my Lord. Now here is Prabhupada's masterstroke and genius. He has coined this word, inconceivable potency. What is the implication of this word actually? Let us try to understand. Prabhupada is telling us, do not waste your intelligence in trying to understand this material creation. No things are happening simply because of the Lord's will. If one understands that behind this material creation is the will of the Lord, then everything is easily explained. Otherwise, it becomes a big complexity. Therefore, it is said, this understanding of Bhagavad Gita and the Vedic literature is simple for the simple. Those who are simple at heart, who are willing to accept it straightforward, it becomes very clean and easy for them. But those who are complicated, how, why, when, where, I don't understand, they get bogged down. So he says, do not waste your intelligence in trying to understand this material creation. No things are happening simply because of the Lord's will. This material creation is only a puppet and will dance to his tune. See the puppeteer and know what he is telling you. If he so desires, he can even make a tiger fly without wings. That is his potency. He can do anything. We can see a bird that is flying, and a bird has wings. So we accept it that, oh, it is natural for the bird to fly. But if the Lord so wants, he can even make a tiger fly, and that too without wings. Any proof for that you want? Very simple. There was one demon who challenged the authority of the Lord and the ability and the inconceivable potency of the Lord. His name was Hiranyakashipu. He wanted to become immortal. So he was asking for a boon that he should become immortal, and he approached Brahma. Brahma said, I myself am a mortal. How can I give you the boon of immortality? So Hiranyakashipu was applying his intelligence in a perverted manner. He was trying to find a loophole in the provisions of the laws of nature, in the provisions of laws made by God. So he started putting so many conditions. I should not be killed inside, I should not be killed outside. I should not be killed in the sky, I should not be killed in the earth. I should not be killed by any weapons. I should not be killed in the day, I should not be killed in the night. I should not, then he said, I should not be killed by any creation or any creature created by Brahma. Because Brahma is the creator in this material universe. So he is completely sealing his security. He says that no created being should be able to kill me. So that way he feels that he is completely secure. When nobody can kill me, how will I die? Then I will become immortal. That is his mentality. So what does the Lord reply? The Lord does not say anything. Brahma grants the boon. Everything is going on. Hiranyakashipu is puffed with his pride. He is actually pulverizing and tyrannizing. He is actually pulverizing the whole creation. Even Indra, it seems, if he just raises his eyebrow, Indra begins to shudder. That was the power of Hiranyakashipu. That was the kind of influence he was wielding over the devatas and all the controllers, all the demigods. So the Lord incarnated as Narasimha. Half man and half lion, not part of the creation of Brahma. He killed Hiranyakashipu on the doorstep. He put him on his lap, not up, not down, not inside, not outside. He used his nails, he did not use any weapons. So he satisfied all the conditions of Brahma, but yet he got to him. So what the Lord cannot do, this is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. This is what Prabhupada is explaining. Don't waste your intelligence. It is inconceivable. Give up. Use it for better purpose. Try to understand and see the will of the Lord. Accept His will. Surrender unto Him. This is the simple point. Otherwise, you will be wasting the precious human form of life trying to find how a blade of grass works. But with your whole life's effort, you cannot create one blade of grass. This is what Prabhupada says. This is the potency of the Lord's creation, and this is the insignificance of human intelligence. Balramji killed Romaharshan Sutta just with a straw. It's again inconceivable. With a straw, how can anybody kill any person? Have you ever seen this happening? You need a sword, you need a weapon. No, just with a straw. Varaha killed Hiranyaksha just with a slap. He just slapped him under the ear and Hiranyaksha was dead. And what did Krishna do? He simply sucked the life air out of Putana. That's all. He was such a small child. All that a baby can do is suck the milk of the mother. A baby cannot do anything more than that. So within that limitation, he killed Putana. He just used the act of sucking. That's all. First he sucked all the impurities out of her, purified her, and then sucked her very life air and killed her. So the Lord can do anything. Putana thought by smearing venom or poison, she could poison the child. So he just took the poison also. But then he took her life also. That is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. We cannot match the activities of the Lord with our intelligence. It doesn't fall within the framework of our intelligence. It goes beyond that. That is why the Lord and his activities are transcendental. That means they transcend the boundaries of your intelligence. They transcend the boundaries of your abilities, of your understanding. So the only way to approach the Lord is with faith. Leap of faith, they say. So faith is a faculty which is higher than intelligence. And adav shraddha, that is the first ingredient, that is the first quality required to approach the Lord. And the same aspect is very beautifully, again, explained by the Lord himself. His whole inconceivable potency, he is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 9, verse number 4 and 5. He says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtinam matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshwavastita namatstani sarva bhutani pashyame yoga maishwaram bhuta brinnacha bhutasto mamatma bhuta bhavanah. What does the Lord say? By me, by my impersonal feature, I pervade the whole creation. So he is there in his whole creation. But then he says, but yet I am not in it. First he says, I am in it. Then he says, still I am outside of it. And then he says, how do we understand this? Don't worry. He says, relax. Don't stretch your brains. Don't tax your intelligence. He says, Pashyame yogam aishwaram. This is my mystic opulence. Simply accept it. That this is my capacity. This is what I can do. And this is what you can't do. So a jiva should not try to become God. But a jiva's only relation that is possible with God is the relationship of surrender. There is nothing else. There is no choice actually. There is only one way that is open, and that is to surrender. Not to match, not to understand, or not to circumvent. And then, so the same aspect, Prabhupada also explains that how he says, I am giving a very crude example. He has given the example of the king and his government. The government is actually the energy of the king. It is happening by the king's mercy and the king's sanction. But the government and the various departments of the government are functioning. So though the government and the energies of the king are actually working the whole state machinery, but the king is personally not present over there. In the same way, we have to understand that the Lord, by his impersonal feature, is pervading the entire creation. At the same time, he is out of it. And the same aspect, again, Krishna graphically explains by one beautiful leela. And that is the leela of Krishna eating the dirt. So Balram is complaining to Mother Yashoda that, see Yashoda Ma, what has Krishna done? He has gone and eaten mud. He has eaten dirt. And he is not opening his mouth. So, Yashoda is coming there. She is naturally worried that her little child is eating dirt and he may fall sick. So, she is coming and asking Krishna to open his mouth. Krishna, very innocently and very gently, politely, he is opening his mouth. And what does she see inside his mouth? A little bit of dirt. She sees the entire universe. She sees the whole earth. In short, Krishna is telling, Mother, why are you worried about a little mud that I am eating? You know, all the mud that is there in the whole planet earth and all the universe is all already inside within me. Why are you so worried about this little dirt, little mud? And then he is displaying his opulence. But that little Krishna, though the whole universe is within himself, he is still outside of it. He is sitting in front of her like a little baby, so innocent, so childlike, so helpless, depending on his mother. She is zapped looking at this. And she is out of her senses. She is not able to comprehend. And then she begins to understand. Oh, he is the Supreme Personality. And she begins to offer prayers. And Krishna says, oh, sorry, wrong number. Let this not happen now. You are my mother and I want your affection. Immediately he uses his Ogamaya potency and he covers her. He covers her completely. And again she becomes caring. She says, oh, my little child, totally dependent on me, and all these people are accusing him. She takes him in his arms and starts fondling him. And this way, she becomes very affectionate towards him. And that is what Yashoda Mai wants, to fondle affectionately Krishna as a little baby. And that is what Krishna wants, to enjoy the affection of his own devotee as his mother. So this is his mystic opulence. By intelligence, by logic, we cannot approach, we cannot understand. Only with faith, only with love, that is the key factor. Only with love, we can go anywhere near Krishna, not otherwise. But then, there are people who are rebellious of Krishna. That is the sad part of this creation. The rebellious souls have misused their minute independence. And they are cast into this material world. Even after coming into this material world, why do they come into this material world? Because they have this inclination to lord over. Krishna is the supreme and absolute Lord, and they have their constitutional position is to serve the Lord. But with their perverted mentality, their rebellious souls, what do they want to do? They are rebelling against the authority of the Lord. So they themselves want to become lords. So therefore, to accommodate them, he has this material creation and he gives them a minuscule control over material nature. A minuscule control, not that they can completely control, but some amount of control, some leeway he is giving them. But because of that, they become so puffed up. Yes, I can change the climate. I will install an air conditioner. In summer, I will enjoy the winter cold. No, this is the mentality. So everywhere they say, how we can change the situation to our favor. They try to become the controllers. They try to become the Lord. And therefore it is explained, because of this rebellious nature, they disregard the Vedas. That is what the British did when they came to India. They saw that they are able to conquer the Indians with their guns, but they are not able to conquer their spirit because they are entrenched with the deep philosophy and understanding that Lord is supreme. So then they brought about this wonderful device of labeling the Vedic literature as mythology. Myth means the opposite of truth. Truth means that which is correct, real. Myth means just the opposite of that. And those said, this is all mythology. Hanuman carrying a mountain over the ocean. Hanuman jumping across the ocean. What is all this nonsense? Can a man, and not even a man, a monkey. Is it possible for a monkey to do this? This is simply monkey business. Forget it. It is mythology. And this way, they brainwashed the entire population. But what did Krishna do? He used that same very English language which they used as a vehicle to propagate their philosophy. He used that same English language and turned it back on them. He brought Prabhupada, he dictated the entire Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in English, and he turned the tables on them. He said, here it is, back with a bounce. This is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. The demon Ajnana, it is explained in the beginning of this chapter. The name of the demon is Ajnana. Ajnana means ignorance. At the end of the millennium, steals and hides the Vedic knowledge in the Rasatala, the lowermost regions, Patala. And Lord Hayagriva incarnates. So the Lord takes a special incarnation as Hayagriva, half human being and half horse. And he retrieves and returns it to Brahma on his request. And Brahma is begging for this knowledge. And in this particular But before we come to that, there is one more aspect which we have to understand. In the final line of this second verse, that is verse number 6, it is explained that I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. So when we read this line, we wonder, what determination has the Lord displayed over here? So actually the point that he is referring to is, Lord Hayagriva, though the demon Ajnana has taken up this Vedic literature and hidden it in the lowermost regions of the Rasatala, Lord Hayagriva goes all the way down to the Rasatala. Up to now we thought the Lord was detached. He is completely aloof from his creation. But is he completely aloof? When the time comes, he acts. He knows when to act. So when the time comes, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanama dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So he incarnates, he comes, he takes up his role. So he goes to the Rasatala, he brings out the Vedic literature from there and he restores it. He gives it to Brahma, and it is explained in the purport, Brahma is the most trusted servant of the Supreme Lord. And Brahma is asking for this, so the Lord comes and hands it over to him. So this is the determination of the Lord of retrieving the fallen souls. Without the Vedic literature, without the understanding of this pure knowledge, people are steeped in ignorance, and because of that ignorance, they fall into sinful ways, and because of that, they get entangled and more implicated in sinful activities, and they have to continuously suffer. Continuously suffer, and they don't know how to get out of it. So out of his compassion, this is actually his compassion, out of his compassion he comes and he re-establishes the Vedic literature, he re-establishes the Vedic value, just in order to guide them, just in order to give them a chance to come back to the original consciousness that I am the servant of the Lord, and to reinstate them in their original constitutional position. So the conclusion is, God gives minute independence, even though he knows that it is going to be misused. Like one example sometimes is quoted, that you keep a bottle of alcohol in a room, and you let a person, alcoholic, into the room. He has the choice to either drink it or not to drink it. But what is going to happen when you open the room? He will definitely drink it. So in the same way, the Lord knows that these living entities, he is giving them a minute independence. But he also knows that they are going to misuse this independence. But still, he aggressively guards their minute independence. He never interferes with it. He facilitates all their desires, even though it may be against their own interest. He still facilitates them. But when he sees them suffering, he becomes compassionate. So this is the detachment aspect of the Lord. But he is not detached to the point of indifference. He is detached just to safeguard our independence. But then he makes us responsible for our own activities so that we awake to the truth. And then he has his compassion. He gives, because of his compassion, he gives the Vedic knowledge to them. And therefore it is explained in the purport that the Vedic knowledge is the real treasure. In this world, people are chasing after money, and money is honey. So they are willing to sacrifice their entire life just in order to accumulate a huge amount of money. But at the end of their life, they are compulsorily made to leave everything and go. And therefore in the Vedic knowledge it is given. So it is also explained in the one of the beautiful songs, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. So the dhan is the Sankirtana of Harinam. So therefore, through these Vedas, and once Radhanath Maharaj very nicely explained this point. He said, once somebody was asking this question, so he said, though the living entity is given this minute independence of choosing what he wants to do, yet the Lord, fully knowing that he can misuse his independence, does something else. What does he do? He gives Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. to help the living entity to make the right choice. So we have this option. Shastra is available. We can take shelter of a guru and we can take the association of the sadhus. This is a wonderful mechanism. This is a wonderful opportunity, a benediction that the Lord has given. Though He has given this independence, at the same time He has given this wonderful retrieving factor. And because of this, we can come out of the clutches of this illusory material energy and go back to the kingdom of God, back home, back to Godhead, and get reinstated in our constitutional position of becoming the servant of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. So, if there are any comments, any corrections, any questions. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hare Krishna.